Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
The truth shall set you free.
Good morning and welcome to The Truth. I'm your host, Gary Barthite Jr., and I want to thank you for joining us and listening to the program today. During this hour, we will be discussing the whole and complete truth and nothing but the truth. No false information, no lies, propaganda, conspiracy theories, no, not here. We are just not interested in all that, just the facts. Today it's Food and Fitness Friday.
I'm going to jump on the phone, see who we have in queue, and I'll be back in 10 seconds. Stay right here.
Hey, hi, I'll welcome everyone to the program, The Truth. My name is Gary Barthite, and I'm your host for the next hour. It is 72 degrees. Here in Las Vegas, it is Friday, and we are going to have a great show. We have Don from the Perump Hunting Company, and oftentimes he's out in the field taking care of his bees. So I actually had him on the phone, and we dropped the call. So we're going to try to get him back online. What we're going to be talking about today is raw honey and pollen and different benefits of that, of course, on Friday here on the Truth is Fitness Food and Fitness Friday, in which we like to talk about things that are good for your body, because there's a natural side to things and a spiritual, and so we take care of our natural side with things that we can, and our body responds better. I'm going to go ahead and here in a minute try to get Don back on the phone, and I just want to let you know that after my show is Cheryl from See the Power in You, she'll be coming up in the next hour. Also, I had a great time over there at Keen TV yesterday. I'm helping them out over there working. Working in the studio and met some awesome people. So I'm going to go ahead and jump on the phone, see if I can get Don back on the phone. And we will we'll be back here in just a minute. Just enjoy some commercials, and I'm going to try to get Don back on the phone. Hold on, please.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Against Monsanto happens this Saturday, the 25th of May, all over the country, all over the world. Go to their website, marchagainstmonsanto.com, and find where there's a city close to you and a march has already been organized. There are hundreds and hundreds of them in 30 countries. I hope you will support this wonderful effort in a city near you.
Hey, sorry about that, guys. I'm back. I'm Don. I'm having trouble getting a hold of him. He may be out in the field there in Perump. There's a lot of mountainous range, and we will try to get him back on the show here in a minute. If you just join us, my name is Gary, and I appreciate you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, concerns, you can go ahead and give us a call at 347-324-3704. Again, that is 347-324-3704. Trying to get a hold of Don, and he, like I said, he's a busy man, especially this time of year. It is allergy season, so he has got like three or four different events that he does on the weekends, and taking care of his bees out in the field. So we did schedule him to be on the show. I did just talk to him. We got disconnected, and I can't get him back. So what we're going to talk about today is the benefits of natural raw honey. I'm going to do the best I can until he calls in. Cheryl, if you're able to call into the studio and get a hold of him, I'll go ahead and chat you his number. Maybe you can get a hold of him for me through the studio. Anyway, Perump Honey Company, it's a great place to get honey. He does ship all over the United States. If you're looking for raw desert honey, it comes from wildflowers, alfalfa fields, mesquite and yucca trees, sunflowers, and other ingredients of vegetation of the Great Basin Desert. Of course, Google has thousands of sites about honey and how good it is for you. We assume you already know the basics, but if you're looking for a great source of honey and you want raw desert honey, it's definitely a great place to get it. Of course, we know with all the pesticides, it's destroying the bees here in America and across the world. It's really a bad thing. When the Africanized bees were introduced here in the country, people got in fear, but really, honey is a source of protein, a source of there's just so many different chemicals and so many good things in honey that actually benefit your body. In fact, honey and bee pollen are considered by many people to be one of the perfect foods on the planet. It's not only a nutrient powerhouse, but this glucose content helps transport nutrients into the bloodstream. So it doesn't really spike your sugar as much as, like, your processed sugars, although you do have to be careful if you have diabetes because it is sugar. So it's really important. Of course, if you keep it in the freezer, too, a lot of people will buy it during season and freeze it. It'll actually keep for a few years. So you can actually take it with you. The thing about honey, too, is when it crystallizes, it's nature's way of protecting itself. And if you have honey and it's crystallized, you can go ahead and warm it up, even in a windowsill. Many people suffer from airborne allergies and hay fever safely take bee pollen. Bee pollen is actually, it's very, very good for you, but you also got to be careful. You can take too much of it. It can be very dangerous. It's a very potent protein. So here's how the body works. Now, for me, when I was a young child, I didn't have an immune system. I actually coughed 24/7 for 2 years. Of course, they didn't have the technology they have now that you could they could test for allergies and find out different allergens in your bloodstream. They didn't have that back then, so they really didn't know what was going on with me. And I was actually fed crushed ice by my mom to keep my throat from swelling closed. And when I hit puberty and I had those hormones kick in, my immune system kicked in. It was kind of a wild thing, but actually being that my immune system developed at a later age, it's actually stronger. However, I do have, like everyone else, allergy problems sometimes, but since I've been taking his products, I feel so much better. Really important that you can find a source of local honey in your area. Because the pollens in your area, your body will build up an immune system to those pollens. So just know that if you do take bee pollen, you take a small amount and you build it up. Each person responds differently to bee pollen. So, of course, it's allergy season in a lot of places in the country. You want to develop an immunity against the allergens. And bee pollen can accomplish that. Bee pollen, when people take bee pollen orally, there's been a study, 75%, actually average, 75% of reduction of symptoms, and almost 80% of allergy patients also had 75% reduction of symptoms. Also, asthma patients, they have improvement. Just know something about honey is that darker the honey, the more nutrient value it has in it. It has more minerals. It's almost like dark molasses. The darker your molasses. I remember when I did a natural cleanser, when I do the natural lemon cleansing program, that you want to get grade B maple syrup, and that's the darker, later syrup that comes from the trees. And so the darker the honey, the more potent it is, the more nutrients it has in it. So just a little thing about the Pahrump Honey Company is based in southeast Pahrump, Nevada. It's close to Nevada-California border. And, of course, the bees get the honey and the nectar, collecting nectar from desert plants, like I mentioned earlier, yucca, mesquite, wildflowers, alfalfa. And some of the nectar is also gathered from native grasses and thistle bushes. Really good for people that suffer from mesquites, allergies. There are several nutrition stores that will sell the sublingual drops. They never worked for me. I've tried them many times. They never seem to work for me. But when I consume the raw honey, and I haven't started taking bee pollen yet, but the honey is just, I just like it. I put it in everything. I put it in coffee. I put it in iced tea. I had some on toast this morning. If you get a good, natural, unprocessed honey, it's sweeter, it's thicker, it's more potent. You don't have to take as much. See, a lot of people mistake quantity for quality. And that's the problem with our food today. Why a lot of people are obese, it's because they're eating too much. You have to eat so much to get nutrients out of it. But if you get good quality, high quality food with thick with nutrients, you don't have to eat as much. So it not only benefits your body with the nutrients, it actually helps you to lose weight as well. If you are in the Las Vegas area, he is at the Farmer's Market, Highway 215 and Eastern Ave on Sunday starting at 8:30, and that Farmer's Market is till 1 o'clock. He's also Alta Drive and Rampart tomorrow, and he's also Thursdays at Multiple Chef's Market on the Springs Reserve. If you do want to call down and have any questions, it's 775-513-0458. That's 775-513-0458. You can call him and mention Freedomizer Radio for a special gift. Okay, so you do appreciate that. And I'm not just here to promote Just Donna. He's just he has a lot of information. He's very smart. His products are just one of the best I've ever had. So I'm going to go over a little bit of information, and, of course, I'm just getting this off his website. You can check it out for yourself. But his wildflower honey, how it's gathered is from the deserts, the valleys, and alfalfa fields here in the American Southwest. It's also known as the Great Basin Desert. A lot of people like to get desert honey. Once taken from the hive, the honey is strained to remove any foreign matter, and then it's poured into jars. It's never boiled. It's never overheated. There's nothing added, nothing taken out. It doesn't go through the pasteurization process that a lot of honey you find in commercial stores and big box stores. The bee pollens, the propolis, even a little tiny bit of beeswax are clearly visible on top of the containers as they rise to the top of the jar. It's almost like if you ever had, like, natural unprocessed milk with a cream at the top. You can't get that anymore because the government has made it nearly impossible unless you know a farmer. Out here, I'm always looking for goat's milk. I prefer goat's milk. Goat's milk is better than cow's milk. In fact, a human should not consume cow's milk, really. If you suffer from allergies, you want to avoid all dairy products anyway. And it's not really good for you, but the reason why you want to use goat's milk is the size of a goat baby is very similar to the size of a human baby. Now, if you notice that we're getting larger and larger, especially in this country, there's a lot of milk products. And think about the size of a baby calf. It's huge. So that's part of the reason. It has nutrients and has fats and different things in that milk that is meant to nourish and to grow up that cow. Well, we're becoming cows in this country. We really are, and I need help in that area too a little bit. As I get older, my metabolism is slowing down. God designed it like that so we can live longer, because if your metabolism stayed high and you're like me, I'm an A-plus type personality person, if you stayed at the high metabolism, your heart would not be able to sustain you for many years. So the reason why metabolism slows down is that we can live longer. So anyway, if you get your honey and they say it's raw honey and you look at it, you should hold it to the light. It should be very dark. Mine, I'm holding up this one from up to the light and I can't even see through it. It's very, very dark. Honey that doesn't contain the natural bee pollens, the propolis, and a little bit of beeswax is likely altered honey, and you want to try to get it in the most natural state that you can, the way God made it. You know, it's really interesting. If we look in the Bible, God came to Abraham and said, "I'm taking you to Moses. I'm going to take you to a place that is flowing with milk and honey." And if you think about that, if you go to a land that has milk and that has honey, it has everything you need. It means there's water for the plants to grow. There's water for the cattle to grow. Milk, so they have live cattle. You have all kinds of enough water and nutrients for even human mothers to provide milk for their babies. And then honey, there's a lot there that you need honey for. You need the whole food chain. So a land flowing with milk and honey is going to provide everything for you. It's going to provide nutrients. It's going to provide finances for the people who sell the honey and sell the cattle. It's going to provide plenty of land for the cattle to graze, plenty of places to live. So a land taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey, as we read in the Old Testament, that God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, if you're familiar with that story. And then later on, the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining, and they went around the desert 40 years, and finally God said, "You know, I'm fed up with this generation. This generation will pass away before you go to the land of milk and honey." And then Joshua, he took the children of Israel into the promised land. So your promised land is flowing with milk and honey, so it's really important to have honey. There's a reason it was in the Bible. Also, if you look in Genesis, plants and herbs were known as medicine and food for your body. So in this country, we treat the symptoms instead of treating the cause, and it's really good. Preventative medicine is really good. I'm 45 years old. I'm almost 45. I don't work out hardly ever. I should, but I can't remember the last time I was at the doctor. So I use natural and supernatural. I rely on God, but I have to do my part. I have to be careful what I put in my body and be very aware. And I got to learn to say no to sweets and cake and different things. And it's not necessarily fasting every month that's necessarily what you need to do, although it's very good for your body. It gives your body a chance to rest. It gives your body a chance in your digestive system to just rest. It gives cleansing. It's good to do that. But even more importantly is to live a fasting lifestyle. Learn to say no to sweets. Learn to say no to your flesh. You'll be healthier and happier, and you'll sleep better. It just benefit you all the way around. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. I'm going to talk about a few things here that is on his website. It's really good information. We're going to talk about bee pollen. And bee pollen is actually collected by the foraging lady bees, which I didn't know. And so thank God for the women. So anyway, the lady bees and bee pollen, it's really easy to remember. That's high in bee vitamin complex. And bee vitamins, your B12, your B6, all the good B vitamins is where we get our energy. But bee pollen also contains vitamin C and E, plus a lot of antioxidants. Now, I have a pastor friend here in Las Vegas. He does dark field blood microscopy, and I'd like to have him on the program one of these Fridays to talk about what he does. He has something called healthy blood. And, of course, we know that life is in the blood. And he actually takes a tiny little drop and puts it under a dark field microscope and puts it on a big LED screen so you can see your blood live moving around. And he can go in and he can see things. He can see little micro parasites, and he can tell you, well, you probably eat a lot of organic salads, and there's a little critter in there it's really interesting. As the white, you can see the white blood cell going to get this little parasite, and it's really teeny tiny, and you can see it like hiding behind the red blood cells. It's just amazing. There's a war. There's a battle going on in your body right now, folks. It's actual war going on. He can see parasites. He can see your red blood cells if they're shaped oddly. That's precancerous. He can tell you what you need to take. He can see if you're dehydrated by your cell stacking. I mean, and for you to sit there and look at your live blood on a screen that he just took out of your own body, it's pretty shocking to most people. I know he did go up a few months ago to Minnesota, and he had some ministers that came down from Canada. And if you are a minister, if you're a licensed minister, he will offer you to do that for you for no cost. But he very reasonable. Most doctors charge anywhere from $150 to $350 to do this. He charges, I think, $99 or $120. You get a chart of what's going on in your body. He does suggestions. He can sell you the natural herbs to get your blood clean, to get your blood cleaned up. And like I said, I'll probably have him on a future broadcast. But it's really important that we have antioxidants, especially in this day and age, especially if you live in a city where you're breathing a lot of the toxins in the air. You clean up your blood, your whole body will respond better. Then you have to do your part. You have to make a lifestyle change, and it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. But you'll notice that with natural ingredients, that it's not a quick fix. Like we live in a microwave society here in America. We want everything now. We want everything yesterday. We want instant gratification. And delayed gratification is actually going to be better for you. So I kind of went off topic there, but it's really important to understand that bee pollen does have antioxidants. So bees use the honey as their protein source and their pollen as a protein source, but we use that in excess to treat allergies. It helps with blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity. Bee pollen's really good. If you can get the natural bee pollen, the natural raw bee pollen, it actually is very fluffy. If you were to taste it, it tastes like nothing. It doesn't have any flavor. You can sprinkle it on your cereal in the morning. You can put it in smoothies, however you want to take it, and you just take a little bit every day, and there's a lot of benefits to bee pollen. And so the next thing I'm going to talk about before we go on a commercial break, and I'll try to get Don back, is propolis. And propolis is created by the bees from sap. That's that resinous material found on buds or wounded areas of conifer, mesquite, and cottonwood trees. The bees mix it with beeswax and other secretions to seal cracks and repair their combs and smooth rough spots in the hive, things like that. And in ancient cultures, they used propolis to heal wounds and to treat for anything from common cold, gum disease, high blood pressure, burns. They used it in ancient times, back in the days of even the pharaohs. It's also known as its ability to build resistance to infections and toxins. But they used to chew the raw propolis they used to take that sap and just chew it like gum. When I was a kid, we used to call it Indian gum. But it's available in a tincture and a mixture of 10, 20, or 50%. It's very, very, very dark. It's almost black. You can put that right on cracker and toast. There's so many benefits to bee products. It's just amazing. The more I study about it, the more I believe in it. We are going to talk about royal jelly before the break. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or you want to call in, if you have any information that you like to share, how you might use bee products, including beeswax and different things, call us in here at 347-324-3704. Again, if you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can get me on social media sites and freedomizerradio.com. So we're going to talk about royal jelly. Of course, royal jelly is a pure energy produced by nurse bees and is fed exclusively to the queen bee throughout her long life. The queen lasts 3 to 5 years on average. Of course, it's just terrible what we're doing here. killing off our bees in America. What I would suggest to you, if you have a beehive, get on the internet and find a beekeeper that will come and take the bees, take the queen bee and take them alive. And some of them will even give you some honey in the process. But I don't know anymore. I haven't had any problems with bees, but they used to offer, beekeepers would offer the service for free to come and get the bees. And it's just it's better than calling an exterminator. A lot of them won't do it now because of the population of the Africanized bees in America. But, again, get a hold of there's a beekeeper society I know on the internet. Just go ahead and do a search on the internet and find yourself a good beekeeper or the beekeeper society if you have a bee problem. See if they'll come out. Some of them will even take a couple of bees and check them and make sure they're not Africanized. And then if they see that they're not Africanized, they'll come and get the bees. There's a lot of great programs and resources on discovery on bees. And I always say be healthy. Bees are important. So what's interesting, royal jelly, of course, that's where we get the name royal from, is that it's given just exclusively to the queen bee. Helps her with all the eggs she has to produce, which is over 1 million eggs every day. That's a lot of egg laying. And the royal jelly is about 60% bee pollen, and that's produced by the nurser bees. They actually extract the oil from their glands on their foreheads. They chew the pollen. They mix the oil to produce this rich, creamy substance. That is actually their food. It's actually their basis of life in the hive. And it contains everything in there, every element to build and sustain life and a rich cell regeneration. So royal jelly is good for the human body, helps with our cell regeneration too. Just remember that, you know, a lot of people talk about that there isn't a God and that we evolved from all these creatures. And they said, well, if we didn't, how come they're all similar? Well, if they're made by the same God, they're going to have similarities. Okay, if something that a painting that's created by a certain painter are going to look alike. Buildings, a certain architect, you can see his prints, his the same designs, you can tell it's the same designer. Well, same thing with God. Of course we're going to have similarities. Of course all his creatures are going to have two eyes. A lot of them have two eyes. There is some diversity that God created. But just understand that even when I was in pre-med, I studied evolution because it explained and you can really understand the human body if you see how supposedly a single-cell amoeba became a human being. Because we know it's nonsense because if that's the case, why aren't monkeys having human babies? So I just thought I'd throw that out there because I myself had a Darwin fish on my car when I was at UNLV years ago studying pre-med. And so what's really interesting is right before we take a break here, I'm going to say and quote from Darwin. He said before he died that if anybody would study the complexity of even just a human eye, there is no doubt in my mind that it was done by a creator, by an intelligence. So... And if we just, I mean, even if we just, as we sit here and talk about bees, if we just look at what bees that were created by a creator. Now, a lot of people say, well, why are they stinging humans? Why are they bad? Well, that's from the fallen state of man and the fact that we need to repent in this country and around the world for killing our babies and the different things that we do. Sin has a price. We open the door for the devil to go in there and reap havoc on all of our lives. I mean, if we look in Genesis, it says that the world without form was dark and chaotic, chaos. And so because of the fall of man, there's chaos. So why it's really important that we repent as a country, that there are things that are happening right now in this country that we need to get on our knees. And it says in the Word of God, if my people who are called by name would humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and ask, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive them, and I'll heal their land. If we turn to our Creator, He will heal our land. There's just no doubt about it in my mind. So that being said, I'm going to take a break here, run a couple commercials, pay some bills, and we're going to try to get our guest back on the line. This happened last week. It's not a big deal. I know he's really busy, and hope I was able to share some good information with you. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solovay. And Solovay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solovay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solovay. You sign up enough people, and Solovay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solovay.com/freedomizer. That's Solovay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solovay.com/freedomizer.
Hold on.
March against Monsanto happens this Saturday, the 25th of May, all over the country, all over the world. Go to their website, marchagainstmonsanto.com, and find where there's a city close to you, and a march has already been organized. There are hundreds and hundreds of them in 30 countries. I hope you will support this wonderful effort in a city near you.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks. 80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
But if Prop 37 passes, they'd have to put labels on genetically modified foods.
So vote yes on Prop 37. It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes. Please vote us on Proposition 47. Can I have a cookie?
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state? Think about our children.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
And we're back. Thanks, Prue, for that. I don't know what a tea aficionado is, but I do know that Rob Desert Honey cooked really great in tea. I put in iced tea. How you doing, Don?
Doing great, thank you.
Hey, sorry about that, Don. You know, like I was telling the folks, Don's real busy, especially this time of year. He's got all his places that he sells his products, and he takes care of his bees out in the field. Don, I talked to the folks about your products, about the information on your website, and we got as far as royal jelly. And I was talking about how that's actually life in the hive. So what's going on? How's the weather out there in Pahrump?
We're absolutely beautiful today. We had a little wind about 30 miles an hour yesterday. Nothing in a prayers go out to those people from Oklahoma. I worry about 30 miles an hour, blew the top off a greenhouse. But those guys, they just lost everything. And I just you know, I'm lucky. It's only a top off a greenhouse.
That's true. That's true. I remember when I was out there, I never saw a tornado, but I did see a the aftermath of Joplin. I was helping them out. And I'm going to mention a number that people can actually text a donation in to Joplin.
Good.
That will go directly to on their phone bill and go directly to the relief effort, 100%. No administration costs. 100% goes to the people. And right now it's when there's a disaster area that the first thing is water is the most important thing, water, and then they start doing clothes and there's a certain order to things. So really important that when you donate something, you donate your best. I remember we got bags of clothes that had cockroaches in it, so you don't want to do that. But, yeah,
right,
definitely.
Absolutely.
Our prayers go out to them and down there in southern Oklahoma. I was out in Tulsa for 7 years. So, anyway, Don, talking about your products, Don is the owner of
Crump
Honey Company. Go
ahead, Don. Let's talk briefly. You got into the royal jelly, and I just want to say that, you know, in ancient times, and not that far ancient, you know, when you go back into Africa today, the royalty of tribes get to eat out of the beehive. And, of course, the royal jelly was reserved totally for the leaders of tribes, because it was such a complete 100% food. And when you look at royal jelly and its composition, it has a lot of pollen in it, probably 40 to 50%. But the other part of it is the oil and the secretions coming out of the bee itself. And there's an oil gland on their forehead. There's two of them. And they pull this oil down, they chew up the pollen, and then they pass this substance that they've been chewing on, kind of like caramel by now, off to another nurse bee, where she takes it and adds some more oil and chews it up, and then they put it into the cells, or they feed it to any of the 2,000 to 3,000 bees that are being hatched out every day, and they get it for the 3 days of their life, first 3 days, and then they don't get to get it anymore. But the queen, living 5 years or more, is force-fed the royal jelly every day. And she lays that 2,000 to 3,000 eggs every day. And so it's a total, complete food, Gary. It's an amazing product.
Well, the queen in the hive is not like the queens here in in our world where they're catered to. Those queens are workers.
Well, actually, everybody thinks, well, the queen runs the hive, and it doesn't. There's a... all the reading I've been doing on and watching the hives over the years, there's a mentality in the hive that is hard to explain. Everybody in the hives does what they're supposed to do to get the job done. And if they don't do their job, somebody stings them and throws them out on the ground. They're dead.
Wow, we could learn from that here in America. Go ahead. <Sorry.
laughs> Well, it's a little too communistic for me, but this mentality in the hive, the queen is, they force her to do things all day long. All these nurse bees, they force feed her, they take the eggs away from her, they put them down in the cells, they keep her groomed and happy and moving around in there, and there's always 5 or 6 nurse bees with her every place she goes to make sure she's doing what she's supposed to do. And all these little bees in there only live 15 to 25 days, and they die of old age, except for the queen. And she's the only one that eats the royal jelly. And, of course, she lives the 5 or 6 years. So what's in there, they've been unable to duplicate it any place. They can't duplicate royal jelly. And every vitamin known to man, every amino acid known to man, all 21 of them are all in royal jelly. So when you look at the hierarchy of foods coming out of there, of course the royal jelly is on the top, and then you'd go with the bee pollen. Bee pollen, people think it's just to get rid of allergies, and it's not. It's that's what the bees eat in the hive, primarily the pollen. And the honey they store for emergencies. So honey is the third food in there. And then, of course, every bee in there has to take the propolis and make sure that the entire interior of a beehive, including the inside of every cell, is coated with propolis. and that's the antibacterial, antiviral product, so that nobody in there gets sick. Amazing place.
Wow. And so I talked about this before you were on the air, that the creator of everything, a portion of similarities to everything he's created. So actually our bodies can benefit from what other animals' bodies benefit from, because we were created all from one creator. So how does it help the humans to consume that?
I'm not sure I get the question, Gary. Yeah.
How do you consume it?
I'm sorry. There's a lot. And today they're freeze drying everything, and a lot of people take it freeze dried. So I don't believe a person should do that. I like it in the liquid form, and you can buy it in the finer health food stores. And of course, we sell it at our farmers markets in Las Vegas. But it comes. It looks like vanilla pudding. It does not taste like vanilla pudding. It has a very acid taste to it. But you take approximately a third to a half a teaspoon a day is my recommended dosage, and that's what seems to be the recommendation of all the beekeepers around the country, a third to a half a teaspoon a day. And if the taste is disagreeable, then we suggest mixing it into some honey, or mixing into a yogurt or a smoothie, or warm water, for that matter.
I love smoothies. I like to take the cells of fruits and vegetables and break them open and mix some things in there. I think it's great.
That would work.
I think the acidic taste not only comes from the vitamin C, but the amino acids. And what's pantothenic acid? What is that?
What is what, Gary?
Pantothenic acid, if I'm saying that right.
Oh, okay. That's the oil coming out of the gland up on the forehead of the bee.
Okay.
So that's where that acid comes from. Okay. And we just call it the oil up there, and don't want to confuse anybody with the Latin name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just reading the information on your website. Really great website. Great information.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, really good. Royal Jelly. The only thing we haven't talked about was whipped honey that was on your website.
Which one?
The whipped honey.
Oh, the whipped honey. We make the whipped honey, and we take raw honey, put water in it, and put in some starch, and then whip it vigorously for close to 45 minutes till we just aerate it, and then take it from there and put it into containers. And into the coolers they go, and stay in the cooler for quite a while. But the pure whey protein of the different flavors is what we used in the whipped honey. And then when you get this product, when it's finished and it's cooled off, it's kind of gummy. But it spreads kind of nice, and it tastes totally different because of the proteins in it. But the whipped honey, it's not honey butter. Honey butter is where they take actual butter and mix it 50-50 with the honey and then whip it, and it makes it look like peanut butter. So there's two different products there.
Sounds like you can almost live off of a beehive.
Totally. You really could. Yes, if a family had a beehive in their backyard, they could. You could take the bee pollen. I've never tried it, of course, but all the readings that I've had, you could live off of bee pollen alone, because it's such a huge food value.
Yeah, I talked about that before you came on the air, Don, about the fact that it's not necessarily quantity that we need, but quality in our foods. And America's obese because we're having to eat so much to get the nutrients. And if you would just go back to real good quality natural foods, and which honey products, I love them. I think. I've been looking for a product like yours for a while, and I consume a lot of honey, and I've got the largest jar that you guys sell. I bought it at your last farmer's market. I'm two-thirds gone of it.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Go ahead. I cut you off. What were you going to say?
I was going to say a person should be having at least a tablespoon of honey raw honey all by itself a day, and then another tablespoon of the pollen. Those two products will keep you. Yeah.
Now, talk about that. I think that's important that people take these products properly and too much. I remember when I was selling vitamins and natural herbs, too much of the pollen can be dangerous. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Too much of the pollen can be dangerous if you're allergic to bee stings.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure why that is. You'd think, you know, bee stings have nothing to do with pollen because pollen comes off of the flower, and it's actually the male sex hormone of a flower.
Right.
But when the bee takes it and then licks on it to make the little pellets to hold them together, that whatever substance that is also in the stinging. And I think it has to do with Mother Nature's way of protecting the pollen from the invasion of viruses foreign substances.
Because
they can take it back to the hive and they put it in cells and they can store it for long periods of time. Several years it stays in there. So when you look at a bee sting and then people overdose on pollen, it's simply because they are already allergic to a bee sting. But I've 5 to 10 ounces a day for world-class athletes is not unusual now. They're taking it for the energy purposes and for keeping their body up so they don't hit the wall.
Right,
like the runners, they can get an extra mile out of it, or they can get in there. Weightlifters get an extra, throw on an extra 25 pounds, that kind of thing. So it's used for energy.
I'll tell you, it does work because here lately, last week, I've been going from about 6 in the morning till after midnight nonstop. And all over town, with the different ministries I've been doing and different things I'm helping out, like 3 different churches and work.
Uh-huh.
And I take that tablespoon of honey, and I'm also using those little sticks that you have for a quarter, the flavored honey as an energy boost, and I feel a lot better. I can notice after using this in just 3 weeks how it's made a difference in my life. So I recommend it. Again, if you are in the Las Vegas area, you can get a hold of Don. Now, Don, where are you going to be out this weekend? Where's your products going to be?
Saturday we'll be up at the Tivoli Center. Tivoli's on Alton Rampart, the Tivoli Shopping Center.
Okay.
And we'll be there from 8 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock.
Okay,
and
great.
Then on Sunday we're out on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then on Sunday we're out at the Eastern Avenue, Eastern, and we're 2 blocks south of the 215 highway on Eastern. All the tents are set up. There's about 30, 40 tents set up. It's a farmer's market, real nice one. So that's Saturday and Sunday. On Friday, we're at Town Square from 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Town Square is right next to Fry's out on the I-15.
Okay.
That's the Friday show. We're also Friday, we're out in Henderson, downtown Henderson at their market. Again, on Sunday afternoon from 3 until 7 o'clock, we'll be at the indoor swap meet up on Decatur.
Oh, really? Okay, that's
yeah.
near my house.
That's,
you guys are all over the valley. That's great.
We're trying to be in every farmer's market. You know, we've got to. I really believe that using the beehive product can make people healthier.
Right.
And if you don't have your health, you don't have nothing. You know, that's
right. That's right.
Pretty
I have
simple.
Well, it says God said in 3 John 2, I pray above all things that you be in health. He said that first. I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper as your soul prospers. So as you prosper your mind, your will, and emotions, So I have a, Don, you're going to laugh, I have a little Facebook page that I started about 4 or 5 months ago. It's called Be in Health and Prosper, and I'm going to change it to BEE. Be in
Health and Prosper. So, yeah, that'd be good.
We'll
I'm just fine. Go ahead.
Yep. No, I
want to throw something in on. They've got they're people with bed sores, decubitus, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking that and they're not doing it in the United States because the FDA won't approve it. Imagine that. But over in other countries, they're wrapping these bed sores with honey, wrapping it up, and then changing that every 24 hours, and they're healing them. I have to be careful with words like healing and cured and that kind of thing because you can't do that here. You can do it in other countries, but they are doing it. But yet, for some reason, we can't do it in this country.
Well, you can on your own.
Amazing.
You just can't do it in public.
You can on your own, but somebody has to do it to them. You know, when you get those bed sores, it's because you're laying down and your blood all settles down into it. You know, a lower extremity, the back of your legs, your heels, or wherever. So somebody has to treat you with it.
Yep. I remember a friend of mine who was a paraplegic. I was living with him, and he wound up getting those, and it was really bad. And they put the pressure bandages on there. Another thing, not to be gross, but another thing they're using for that though is maggots eating the dead flesh, and then they die and they drop off. And then
They're also using the what's the things in the lakes? Leeches do really good too. They'll clean up all the bad stuff. But why not just wrap it in honey? Yeah.
Yeah. Really. That's really interesting. It probably has to do with the what we talked about with in your products that are antioxidants, but also kill and protect it from parasites. It's probably it's just
yeah,
an
the,
amazing
the,
product.
The propolis. Yeah, the propolis protects it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's probably what's doing it. Just an amazing information. What can we do, Don, before we go? We have about, I have about 5 minutes left, and then I'll have to turn this over to Cheryl. She's coming up next in 8 minutes. See the Power in You with Cheryl. Great show, great information. What can we do to support people like you who want to other than buying and patronizing your business, what can we do as Americans and here as freedomists, because we're against the New World Order and against Monsanto and different things that are happening to our food products, what can we do to stop them from killing off our bees in the country? What can we do to help? Like, I talked about this earlier, that it used to be you can call up a beekeeper and they can come get the bees, but now, of course, with Africanized bees, they have to come and take a sample and make sure they're not Africanized. But what can we do to support the killing off of the bees here? I mean, what can we do to support
I think there's two major things. Number one, if you're going to plant something around your property, you're going to plant a bush, a tree, a flower, plant something that is friendly to the bee, like lavender. You know, that's a great plant. It's a purple plant, and the bees just thrive on the lavender plant. They love it because there's so much nectar and pollen in it. So picking out the right plant to put around your property is important. And the tree is important, too. There are some trees that are really heavy in the propolis, and there's some that are not. So you have to check that out. And the next thing is, I believe that we got to be careful mentioning products, but there are two primary companies in this country making poisons, GMO.
No, you can mention it. We have freedom here on Freedomizer. We can expose stuff here. It's not a FCC regulator, so go for it.
Okay, the Bayer Company and the Monsanto Company are making what's called genetically modified products. Every piece of corn that you eat in today's market that you get from any place, I don't care where you get it, the corn has been modified, and inside of the corn is an insecticide so that the moths and the corn borer don't get in there and eat the ear. We're eating that. We are also eating that insecticide, and the bees take that insecticide, and they take it back to the hive. Now, they say, well, look, the bee keeps going back and forth, and it doesn't kill it, so it must be okay. Well, that's absolutely true. The bee taking it back to the hive, taking the pollen back to the hive or the nectar, doesn't die because that product is put in a sack, not in its stomach like people think, and they regurgitate. That's not where they store it. They have a separate sack where they store that and bring it back to the hive. The problem comes with that GMO-modified products is the larvae inside the hive are coming out like monsters. They're coming out with two heads, two abdomens, half an abdomen. And when that happens inside the beehive, the bees aren't programmed to handle that. They have to have 2,000 healthy eggs a day. That means 2,000 bees are also dying a day, but they're dying from the causes, natural causes. So when they get a larva that's all screwed up and, say, 500 of them from the GMO they just hit in the field, that messes up the metabolism of the hive. They will then leave that hive. They think something is wrong inside of it. There's a virus, and they don't know what's wrong in there. They leave the hive. Now you've got what's called the empty hive syndrome.
Oh.
So Bayer and Monsanto are the two primary causes, I think, and most beekeepers will tell you that, of the colony collapse disorder. So what can people do about it? I guess, you know, notify them. We don't want your GMO products. You know, Italy, France have all banned GMO products in the United States.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. Of course, we are supporting March against Monsanto tomorrow all throughout the country. You probably heard the commercial. And I'm sure Cheryl, when she comes here in a couple minutes, she will talk about that. Are you going to be down here in Las Vegas soon, Don, or you pretty much stay up there in Pahrump?
We come down occasionally. I don't come down to the shows anymore. I gotta, you know, hire people to do it, and I just keep the ranch going out here and all the hives. So, but I do come in. I do come in. I got to come in next week, and I got a carpal tunnel. I got to get carved out, so that'll be in a week or so.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, let me know next time you're down here so we can get together and have some coffee, and I'd like to be able to meet you. If I do make it up there to Pahrump, I'll be sure to check you out as well. Don's been a great guest. Again, you can check him out at PahrumpHoneyCompany.com. A lot of information. You do ship across the country, correct?
Yes, I do. Yep, we'll ship any place.
You'll ship any place that you need to get his products. Again, Don is from PahrumpHoneyCompany.com. You're a great guest, Don. I'd love to have you on the show. We're definitely interested in supporting your business here on Freedomizer Radio. And great, great information, great products. So thank you so much.
Gary, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem, man.
Appreciate it.
Hey, we really appreciate you. And we'll talk to you some other time. I'll give you a call later.
Good. God bless.
You too. God bless you, sir. You have a great day. Well, guys, that was Don. He's a great guy. I didn't have a chance to meet him, but I did have a chance to see his products and taste his products. I use it myself. Again, we want to say to you, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast today. And don't forget, Cheryl, See the Power in You is coming up in just a couple minutes here. And again, the March Against Monsanto. If you're listening here in Las Vegas, check out the website. She'll have more information, Cheryl will, here in just a minute. And have a great weekend, guys. I really enjoyed Don. I enjoy the information. I enjoy you guys being here with me today. And I'll see you on Monday. I hope that I will have a special guest. I have a lot of things planned. You guys have a great day out there. Coming up.
Well, there's the signal. It's time to wrap it up. Yes, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I do want to thank my guests, callers, and listeners on the internet. I really enjoyed our time together. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns about what you heard today, or would like more information, please contact me on Blog Talk Radio, FreedomizerRadio.com, or contact me directly on my social media sites at Gary Barhyte. That is spelled B-A-R-H-Y-V-T. Have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you on Monday. Remember, Monday is Music and Ministries Monday. Talk to you then. Bye.
Blog Talk Radio. Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to Freedomizer Radio. Freedomizerradio.com, you can come by and check out our live chat. Today on See the Power in You, my name is Cheryl, and I'm your host for the next hour. We will be having Lainey Welsh on the show today. Lainey has been covering the news of Alaska's seafood industry for over 25 years. Her daily fish radio program airs on 30 Alaska stations plus websites, and her weekly Fish Factor column appears in 20 papers and web outlets, including the UK. So I'd like to welcome in Lainey. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, excellent, excellent. That's quite a bio that you sent me. Thank you so much for providing so much information.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'd love for our listeners to know a little bit about, first, before we get into our topic today, a little bit about Alaska fish and what to do.
I'm sorry, a little bit about what?
A little bit about Alaska Fish Radio and what it is that you do. How did you get involved with that before we hit our topic today?
Well, before I moved to Alaska in 1986, I lived on Cape Cod. That's where my family hails from. And I, from my home, I do everything independently, home-based business. I started broadcasting the daily auction prices and landings in New Bedford and Boston. And that's sort of how I got my feet wet and my start in radio. And then when I came on to Alaska, I ended up getting a job in the Alaska Public Radio Network. And radio rules in Alaska because it's just such a vast, vast remote state that we don't get daily papers, or there's not a lot of connectivity in some of the more remote regions. So radio is it. And so I was hired to do the fish beat and began doing a 15-minute weekly radio program, and then broke off into my own and started Fish Radio and my weekly Fish Factor column, and I do event planning, ghostwriting, but it all has to do with the seafood industry. It's the of interest, I think, to listeners is the seafood industry in Alaska is the number one private employer, and it generates revenues into the state coffers second only to big oil. Plus, Alaska provides more than 65% of the wild-caught seafood you folks are eating there in the lower 48 comes from Alaska. So it's quite an industry.
Yes, it is. I didn't realize the numbers, so thank you for providing that information.
You bet. Well, even in my own state, a lot of the people don't realize the numbers. So it's everything is sort of second to big oil here.
Yeah, I think that is something that happens across the world, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, extraction industries, of which seafood is one, but of course it's the ultimate sustainable resource with good management, such as we do have here in Alaska. But yeah, it does seem to take a back seat to the more immediate gratification of, you know, digging for rare earth minerals or oil and fossil fuels, which is too bad in my view.
Yes, it is. It's not something that that perpetuates the sustainability. The reason that I contacted Lainey was it had to do with the recent information that people are getting on genetically modified salmon and
right.
Some of the issues surrounding that. How do you see this genetically modified salmon and its approval by the FDA affecting your industry?
Well, we're scared to death here in Alaska. Interestingly, this week, our Senator Lisa Murkowski, you know, a U.S. senator, was here in Kodiak, as was our other senator, Mark Begich. And I had a chance to sit down with Senator Murkowski, and she mentioned that she was is very active in Arctic policy. You know, Alaska being an Arctic state, we're at the table with Denmark and Russia and Norway and other regions. And Senator Murkowski mentioned that she was having lunch with a lot of these leaders from these Arctic states, and Norway in particular was talking about GMO salmon, or as we call it, frankenfish, and mm-hmm. and said that if there is mostly the lack of labeling is what's, you know, secondarily freaked people out, because people won't know what they're purchasing, and that had these Arctic heads of state saying that it's likely they won't buy Alaska salmon because they won't be sure that they're not getting GMO fish. Now, Alaska has worked its butt off to develop markets throughout Europe and is doing very well with its salmon marketing. So already to be hearing these grumbles from one of our major buyers, or a region with one of our major buyers, is scary. And then I saw yesterday that Japan has said they will reject all U.S. wheat purchases because they will not accept GMO product. Okay. So there you have it. And yet I asked Senator Murkowski, I said, when can we expect the FDA to do something one way or the other with its approval? And her answer was, I mean, our senators have led the fight against GMOs probably more vigilantly than any other senators. But she said that she said the FDA can drag its feet as long as they want, as far as she's concerned. But she said she expects within 7 months for there to be a decision about approving or not approving GMO for America's dinner plates. And she said she was feeling more confident about labeling. So, you know,
well,
what's that? What is that expression? You know, making silk out of a sow's ear, or something like silk purse out of a sow's ear.
Exactly. You know, I said it from the beginning when Prop 37 came out for California, because I live in California.
Right.
I said to my audience, I don't understand why you're fighting for labeling, and we should fight against the cells being produced. Why are we fighting for labeling? It's sort of like a huge distraction.
I think people are assuming the worst case scenario, that the FDA, despite literally hundreds of thousands of public comments saying, do not do this, please, we beg you, to not approve this man-made fish, the first animal for human consumption that is genetically tweaked. And so I think that, you know, should the FDA just turn its back on the people and say, yes, we're going to give this the stamp of approval, the fallback is, okay, well, let's make sure that it's labeled. But it's, you know, I'm certainly keeping my fingers crossed.
My problem is, how can they label it when the fish, when frankenfish, as you call them, have already escaped, millions of them have already escaped into the wild?
Right. And there's so much conflicting information, Cheryl, in terms of, they'll all be female fish and we'll have them sterilized. Well, already now we're seeing reports coming out that, yes, indeed, these fish could mix with the wild stocks. And who knows? You know, and everyone there's not enough research done on these in terms of impacts on the environment, impacts on people's bodies. You know, and it will, I mean, Oh, I'm sorry. We have a slight delay, so if I'm stepping on you, that's why.
Okay. No, that's okay. The fertility rates or the infertility rates are only 95%. And
right.
No woman right mind would be happy with birth control under those circumstances.
Really? It is. It is frightening. And when you see so many nations around the world, you know, even countries like Peru are saying, we do not want this. We want to know what we're putting in our bodies. We want to know that it's safe and wholesome. And to have our country just, you know, pretty much brushing it off, it's very disheartening. Plus, we have a situation where, of course, in the U.S., over 80% of the seafood that Americans are eating is imported. But in terms of salmon, 90% of the wild salmon that you'll see on your supermarket shelves comes from Alaska. 90%.
Wow.
So what will that mean, you know, not only with the European imports, but, I mean, Alaska has fought so hard for 15 years or more to compete with farmed salmon from Norway and Chile primarily. That just crippled our salmon industry 15 years ago. And so the state has tried so hard to build up that market share and improve quality and do all the things to help us compete with this farmed fish. And if all of a sudden this, you know, mutant, this lab experiment is allowed to, you know, be put out on people's shelves, it really will hurt Alaska. And again, when fishing and seafood processing is our number one employer in our state, you know, you just can see the trickle effect of this decision. I mean, who's it going to benefit? The Aqua Bounty people say, of course, that, hey, look, all of this fish is already being imported to the U.S., so we're just displacing farmed fish for our product. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'd rather eat a farmed salmon.
I would rather eat a farmed salmon, exactly. And
of course, this will be farmed. And in Panama, you know, they'll have a facility there based in Massachusetts, the Aqua Bounty company that has been trying now for almost 20 years to get this product approved. And they're doing all of their grow out of the fish based in Panama. So the U.S. doesn't even benefit.
Well, and it was the facility in Panama, the test facility, where millions of these fish were released into the wild via a storm that damaged the facility.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
2008.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was news I certainly would have been aware of. I mean, should have been aware of, but maybe it didn't make it up this far. I don't know.
Well, and this is the interesting thing is that I put a page up on my website called Something Smells Fishy. And basically was asking people not to buy salmon. That was my initial response to the genetically modified salmon. Just don't buy salmon, period.
Right.
And as I began to research, and I saw through sites like yours how hard people in Alaska work to provide us with good, healthy fish, I vacillated, and I changed it all to don't buy farm salmon. But as I started to get out into the public and start asking people. My leading question for them as I started to ask people to become aware of what's going on, I asked them, do you eat salmon? And people would say, yes. And I said, do you know the difference between wild caught and farm salmon? Every single one chose to eat wild salmon.
Oh, that's great to hear.
And
again, go ahead, I'm sorry.
There was one person who said, I don't eat salmon. And I said, well, if I could give you a good reason why you shouldn't eat salmon and why everyone shouldn't eat salmon, I said, would you tell other people? And he said, oh, absolutely. So people are becoming more and more active in what they purchase.
They are. And, you know, the hard thing is seafood has enough of a battle with the other proteins on the plate. You know, the beef, the chicken, the pork. And then there's always this bad press about contaminated seafood, mercury, this and that. And yet, on the other hand, people also talk about how seafood is one of the best things that you can put in your body, you know, in terms of the omega-3s, the low fat, all that stuff. So here, you know, we've got this other PR battle with contaminants, although interestingly it was pointed out to me that you look in the past few years where there have been these huge recalls of hamburger, lettuce, bean sprouts. You know, somebody said, gee, there's all this alarm created about seafood and you don't see any recalls of seafood, you know. But still, there's that bad rap of mercury poisoning and fish is contaminated, you know, from polluted waters. Well, that's certainly not the case in Alaska. You know, I mean, we have 36,000 miles of coastline here, for crying out loud, and very little industry. So it's, you know, yeah, it's just a... I don't understand it. I don't understand, and even our senators have not been able to get a satisfactory response from the FDA as to why they're even considering this and why they're apparently fast-tracking it. Senator Murkowski pointed out to me, she said, you know, usually to gain FDA approval, it takes years and years and years. Well, yes, Aqua Bounty has been trying to get this approval, you know, for 18 years, but not, you know, they've just been going through this formal process in recent years. And, you know, it just, why is it happening so quickly? Who's the winner here? Not the American people.
No,
not the salmon.
Right. Poor salmon. Lainey, I wanted to ask you, this was something, you know, you said you hadn't heard about the escapees from Panama in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting as I was doing these researches. It makes a difference what you put in your search engine as to what you're going to list to the top. And it had to do with fertility. The question that I asked in my search engine had to do with fertility that brought up that particular article. But one of the other articles that came up, and this is something I don't know if you're aware of, is that the salmon industry boosts its wild population through farmed fish as well. They farm the fish and then let them go into the wild to boost the wild population. Is that something that you have been aware of?
No, when you say they, who are you referring to?
Well, I'm saying people who, I don't know the actual companies that do it. I'm not going to be able to remember.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I mean, for example, here in Alaska, we have a huge salmon hatchery program that complements our wild runs. And some people in the fish farming industry have tried to say, well, see, Alaska does fish farming. Well, it's a lot different when you take the salmon eggs, grow them out to fingerling size, you know, literally as it sounds, the size of a finger, and release them to the ocean. And then, depending on what species it is, they return to the hatcheries after, you know, say a pink salmon 2 years, a sockeye salmon, which is the red salmon, you know, might be 4 or 5 years. And then the fishermen catch them. Well, that's a lot different than fish that are that spend their entire life in a net pen and then are just pulled out of the net, butchered, sent to market. So there's, you know, here I've heard people call Alaska's hatchery program ocean ranching. So it's very different than traditional fish farming, a hatchery that really releases the baby tiny fish to the wild, and then they grow up in the ocean as all the other salmon do, and then come back.
Okay.
That's pretty different.
Yes. And this was someone who, like I said, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, rather famous person in studies of ocean fish and how they migrate and what they do and et cetera. And it was mentioned in that same article. So I appreciate you clarifying the difference between a hatchery and farming.
Fish farm.
That's a pretty big distinction.
Oh, it's a huge distinction. You bet. And, you know, one good thing about the salmon farming, when it came online 15, 20 years ago and people could go to their supermarkets and see these glistening, beautiful fillets, every scale intact, you know, of the farmed fish, one thing it did do was, because it was so inexpensive, it got more Americans eating salmon. And really liking it and seeing how versatile it is and healthy, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, when they, you know, what did they say? The, you know, tide lifts all boats. Well, as a result of that increased exposure of salmon in just in general, the Alaska industry was able to sort of create a niche by being wild and, you know, we perceive it healthier. We're not, this is another issue with farmed fish, whether it be frankenfish or the regular, you know, farmed varieties, is that it takes something like 4 pounds of wild harvest fish made into fish meal to grow 1 pound of farmed salmon. That conversion rate is just incredible. And that's another issue with farm salmon is, you know, they need to feed them fish-based feeds. And so there are these huge extraction industries with primarily anchovies off of Peru or menhaden or pogies off of the East Coast. And then, I think that also some of the fish, sardines and things, maybe off of your area, all of that is ground up into fish meal. And people are really, really getting angry with that, you know, saying you're depleting fish stocks in order to feed these farmed salmon crops. And so for years, a lot of experimentation has been going on with soy-based feeds, et cetera. But the fish want, you know, they want their natural diet of eating other small live species. And, and then they have to add colorants into the feed so that the farm salmon has that beautiful red striking color. Otherwise, their flesh is kind of gray. So you have those, you know, you've got those additives for color. Then you've got the, you know, the issues of when you have so many fish in pens, there's the issue of sea lice and disease. And so the fish are given vaccinations and antifungals and pesticides. And, you know, it's like, yeah, that's what I want on my dinner plate to feed my kids. Oh, jeez. But at least in the U.S., we have the cool labeling. It's called country of origin labeling. And that by law, people can go to a seafood counter and see if they're buying wild or farmed fish of any kind. Tilapia, Pangasius, these other, those are all farmed. So it says it, though, you know, so the consumer knows, you know, which is interesting. You know, we have, and again, our U.S. farmers and the meat industries fought like hell to not have to identify the country of origin for their products. And they succeeded because their lobby, the agriculture lobby, is so much stronger than the small fish producing states have. And so they, you know, they prevailed in that. But I just find it interesting that our government was okay with country of origin labeling for seafood, but it's not okay with labeling for frankenfish? I mean, what's wrong with this picture? I just don't get it.
Well, I think a lot of people don't get it, Lainey. And the March Against Monsanto that happened this past Saturday,
right?
I think it's woken up a lot of people to the dangers.
Well, it sure is getting increased visibility. I mean, even in Anchorage, our largest city here, which, you know, probably has about 400,000 people. The entire state of Alaska only has 600,000 people. And, you know, so the hub of Anchorage and is the largest city. But even they had about 500 people show up in Anchorage in March against Monsanto. So that was really encouraging to see. You know, I have to believe, and I'm sure you agree, Cheryl, that, you know, we have these skyrocketing rates of autism in children and various diseases just throughout our populace in the U.S., and I have to believe that it's from what we are putting in our bodies, you know?
Absolutely.
Our bodies are not designed for these type of, you know, genetic mutations or all of these additives and, you know, chapers. It's pretty sickening. I feel so lucky where I live that I can, you know, get venison, get fish, get crab, you know, as it's in its naturally intended state.
Exactly. Well, we need to take just a short commercial break, and I hope you'll stay with us.
Oh, absolutely. I hope I could take a few minutes to use this opportunity to talk salmon and this pebble mine, because actually a lot of the people in your region fish in Bristol Bay.
Okay. Oh, I would love for you to share about that.
Wonderful. Thanks. I'll be standing by.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back, folks. Thank you all for tuning in. And stay tuned for our sponsors. Come by and check out our affiliate links and support Freedomizer Radio. Thank you all for joining us here at Freedomizer Radio today. And on See the Power, Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio shares about what's going on in Alaska stamp industry, and particularly about Bristol Bay. So I'm excited for you to share that with the audience. I don't know a lot of people that know about it.
Oh, good. And this is something that your audience can really help perhaps affect change by making a comment to the Environmental Protection Agency. The situation we're facing here in Alaska and have been for many years is the world's largest gold and copper mine is being proposed to be built at the headwaters of the world's largest sockeye salmon fishery in Bristol Bay. This is a pristine area. I mean, the people who live in this region go back 6,000 years with their subsistence lifestyle. Fishing is the lifeblood of the communities. But it's also an area where there's a lot of unemployment. You know, there's not, as I mentioned, there's not a lot of industry here in Alaska. We have no roads. You have to get everywhere by boat or plane or snow machine. And but anyway, this Pebble Mine is the project is being proposed, of course, by foreign entities, Anglo American, headquartered in London, Rio Tinto, and another outfit up in Canada. And so this would be, as I said, the largest open pit mine. It will, according to their discussions, it will have dams holding toxic waste in perpetuity, for the rest of our lives, holding back this toxic waste from getting into the waters. And these dams are the size of the Seattle, as high as the Seattle Space Needle. I think that's like 700 feet high. Now, for years, the people opposed to this, led, thank God, by our Alaska Native groups in the region, are you know, fighting this tooth and nail, because it will, I mean, this mine would be so big, Cheryl, you could see it from space. You could fit in three of the mines in your westward region there into this Pebble Mine. And yet this group, you know, is trying to sell Alaska this bill of goods that we can do this, it won't harm the fish, it won't harm the water. How do you dig an open pit mine in an area that is all water, for one thing? And so the groups opposed to this, Trout Unlimited, Sierra Club, Robert Redford, you name it, for years have been working tirelessly to educate the people in the lower 48 about the impacts of this mine. Now, again, here we have the largest red salmon. That sockeye salmon is the most valuable salmon of them all. There were five species of Pacific salmon. Sockeye salmon is probably three times more valuable than any of the others. So here we have the largest run in the world being threatened by a mine so huge you can see it from space. Now, interestingly, a recent study broke down the numbers of people who fish in Bristol Bay each summer for the sockeye salmon, and there's close to 2,000 people who have permits to fish for the salmon, and many of them, it's almost like half of the people who have permits to fish there are from Washington, Oregon, and California, and So these states, like, for example, Oregon and Washington, have gone on record opposing the Pebble Mine because of the impact it would have to people in their communities, not just in Alaska. Because when you think of it, not only does this affect the fishermen and the processors, but it affects the transportation sectors. It affects the people who make boxes for the fish and gel packs and all of this. So all down the chain, I mean, Alaska's like a big colony, Cheryl. We take all our raw materials, whether it's fish, timber, oil and gas, you name it, and we ship it elsewhere where value is added, and then we buy it back at exorbitant prices. I mean, that's the definition of a colony, So people in Seattle, for example, are freaked about this mine because all of our fish, or a great portion of the fish, will go to Seattle where it's either held in cold storage or it's further processed into fillets or, whatever, and then off it goes to markets in the U.S. and around the world. And so the state of Washington is realizing, holy cow, if this fishery is lost, that's going to have a big impact on their, downstream sectors. But I was really surprised to see how many permit holders there were in California, and I'm sorry I can't recall the number right off the top of my head, but, I think it was about 400, which to you is nothing. It's a drop in a bucket, but still, that's 400 fishermen and families depending on the success of that Bristol Bay fishery. you know, we're all interconnected no matter what we do. And I would just urge your listeners to actually, today was the last day to comment to the Environmental Protection Agency, but they've just extended it for 30 days to June 30th. And what the EPA is doing, why the EPA has stepped in, is the Native Alaskans and people in the Bristol Bay region and around the state, about, I think it's safe to say, about 85% of Alaskans are absolutely opposed to this mine. But the stock phrase is that, oh, they need to be allowed to go through the permitting process. And I can understand that, so that, you know, the powers that be can say, no, this isn't going to work or whatever. But anyway, the environment, because of that. So many, pardon me?
I don't understand that.
Well, but let me finish now. So the people of Alaska, the native groups and others in the region, entreated the EPA to do an assessment, a watershed assessment, and hopefully use their authority under the Clean Water Act to say this mine is you know, would destroy the water tables, the watershed, you know, forever. So that is sort of the last recourse Alaskans are hoping for. And, you know, I would just urge your listeners to go to epa.gov/Bristol Bay and make a comment. You know, I sat next to Senator Ted Stevens, or Uncle Ted, as we all called him here, and he said to me, Lainey, I'm not opposed to mining, but this is the wrong mine for the wrong place. And to me, that is the simple message. This mine, I mean, they're using arsenic and all the, you know, as they do normally in a mining procedure to get the precious metals. You know, there's bashing and chemical baths and trucking out. You know, they'll have to make huge roads and deep water ports. And, oh, I mean, the mine is just part of it. So it's, you know, it would change. It would take an industry, I mean, an area that since the beginning of time has had a pristine wilderness, people, native elders living their subsistence lifestyle, and it would change this entire region into a mining sector. It would change the face of Alaska forever. And I would, you know, I will beg people who are listening to have their say and urge the EPA to use its authority under the Clean Water Act to stop the Pebble Mine. And I'm encouraged to hear that you were aware of it, and that you've met other people who are aware of this.
Well, you know, when I said that I don't understand why anyone would think that it's okay to go through the permitting process for something that's so damaging. We already know it's going to damage the environment. I don't have to have an environmental, you know, a degree in environmental studies to understand the impact.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is that the Pebble Partnership, they're so disingenuous. I mean, they're spending literally millions and millions of dollars on PR, playing up the jobs angle, that the mine will provide, you know, good-paying jobs. They're donating to scholarships, they're, you know, you name it, they're just throwing money to try to win favor for this mine. But one thing they're not doing, and this was something that Senator Murkowski was very critical of when I spoke with her 2 days ago here, that they're saying they don't have a mine plan. You could Google or research to the ends of the earth, and you will not find a picture of what this proposed mine might look like, because it's so horrific, they don't dare show the public. And so they have literally tens of thousands of documents every chemical analysis, every bit of minutia you could ever want, and yet they're still looking Alaskans in the face and saying, well, we're not sure what kind of a mine it might be. Maybe it won't be an open pit. Maybe it'll be some underground, you know, wiggly jiggly, who knows. But it's just terrific. And what's scary is that we have a governor who, I'm sure there are people in your audience old enough to remember the Joni Mitchell song, Take Paradise and Put Up a Parking Lot. Well, this governor, thanks to gerrymandering of our election districts in Anchorage, which again is, you know, if a person running for office wins Anchorage, they pretty much win the election, you know, because the rest of the communities in Alaska are like my community, 6,000 people, you know. A lot of the towns have 2,000 to 4,000 people here, the larger ones. But, you know, we have a governor who with this last legislative session, he and his, we call it governor giveaway and the oil spill caucus, but anyway, they threw out a citizens initiative in 2006 that disallows cruise ships from dumping their waste in Alaska waters. They threw that out. They have tried, now the governor and the legislature are trying to what they call streamline the permitting process, or as I wrote about it, taking the stream out of streamlining, which completely removes the public process, public comment, appeals processes, completely removes that. I mean, it's just, they're like running slipshod over the state, in my view, in terms of favoring big oil, big mining, and, I mean, this governor actually, you know, and mining is an important part of Alaska. I, you know, my bias is showing, but it's specific to the Pebble Mine. I mean, he's set national, I mean, Alaska Mining Day, and you know, oh, it's just, people feel betrayed because anything the citizens have fought so hard to gain, this governor and his legislator are just sort of tossing it away. It doesn't matter. You know, what's important is development to them, and our waters and lands and people be damned. It's very frightening. And actually, our state Supreme Court just told the redistricting committee that, I mean, he slapped them down. He said, what you've done is illegal, it doesn't stand, and they have to go back to the drawing board. But still, the result of the 2014 election, we have, the, you know, Governor Parnell and his cronies who are just so pro-development that it's frightening. I mean, the governor he and the legislature just voted during this past session to give the big three, Exxon, BP, and Chevron, a $6 billion tax breaks in the hope that they will do more oil exploration and more oil production. In the hope, no guarantees. At the same time, education was cut. Health care, we have a Denali Kid Care program where, you know, certain people that can get their health coverage costs for their children under 18 for free. All of these things were cut. But $6 billion to the big three, and so now for the first time in many years, Alaska will be operating at a deficit thanks to the oil giveaway. I mean, so the citizens of Alaska now are gathering 30,000 signatures to get a ballot initiative in 2014 to reverse this oil giveaway. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just amazing. And, we're, you know, we're so far away and so removed. Alaska's more like a separate country, you know, than a state, it seems. But it's just very disheartening to see the track that the legislature is on. And, of course, Sean Parnell was Sarah Palin's lieutenant governor. When she quit, he took over the helm. So there you have it.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing so much information about this process. And you're right. I think that as a whole, the United States is separated from Alaska because we don't understand Alaska. We think of it as just this big open space where people live in igloos.
And we don't, you know, people say to me, do you have electricity?
See, we're removed because it's so unlike the rest of the United States.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, every year I go back and visit my family on the East Coast. I had a daughter in the Coast Guard in Washington, D.C., and some family in Florida, but primarily on Cape Cod. And every year I go back and visit them, and it's culture shock for me, even though I grew up there, because of the differences. It is very, very different. And, you know, that's both good and bad, I think. But I do hope people will, you know, take the literally 2 minutes to go to epa.gov Bristol Bay, say, you know, wrong mine, wrong place, or they can, you know, also please visit my website. I have links there for EPA. It's alaskafishradio.com, and it's, you know, very lively news site.
I enjoyed exploring it.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad. I'm just so impressed with this whole Freedomizer Radio, seeing the amount of sponsorships and programming on your website. I'm just almost speechless. I'm so impressed. And that's something that we should have here in Alaska. I'm going to be sure to be posting your link on my work for sure.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that very much. Very much.
It's a...
I'm gonna bring in my co-host, Miss Cookie, up in Wisconsin. So that's a whole other country heard from
right.
as well.
Hello.
Hi, hello.
Cookie. Wonderful program, lots of good information, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm like I said, I'm just astounded at this whole concept of Freedomizer Radio. And again, since radio rules in Alaska, you know, this might be something that we would want to replicate.
It'd be wonderful. And Cheryl's a good person to tell you how to go about it, because she does an excellent job for everybody here at Freedomizer.
Oh, it's just so impressive. What a wonderful outlet for you know, an alternative way for people to really share knowledge and share their hearts.
Thank you.
You bet.
Lady, I would love to invite you to come back again.
Oh, I would love that. Any time you want. You know, again, my topics are fairly restricted to one. but I sure can answer any questions about anything to do with the seafood industry, not just here in Alaska, but globally, because we're all so interconnected. You know, what happens on the East Coast can affect our fisheries here. What's going on in Europe, you know, with currencies or whatever, Japan, I'm your gal.
I was very pleased to hear that you guys were all connected in that. What did you call it, the Arctic?
Oh, well, there's these Arctic policy councils now are, I mean, you know, we're seeing the Northwest Passage, you know, for the first time ever is going to be opened up to shipping because of global warming. I mean, the Arctic is, in Alaska, are ground zero for global warming. You know, we're seeing the ice melting, the glaciers melting. We're very concerned here about ocean acidification, how that is potentially affecting our huge seafood industry. You know, it's just such a such a happening place. It really is for all those kinds of issues. But so much is happening with the Arctic in terms of oil and gas exploration, shipping, you name it, fishing, that all of these countries are coming to the table to talk about ways in which they can, you know, conduct commerce and yet protect this environment. And so that's encouraging to see. For example, the state of Alaska, this was probably 3 years ago, put a hold on any fishing in the Arctic waters. Like in our area, it's like the Chukchi Sea and those areas, because we don't know what's there. And so they're not going to allow fishing when they don't have any idea of what the stocks are. Or, you know, Alaska, I'll say, it's like the opposite of our government in some regions. When it comes to our fisheries, we're the only state where it's literally mandated by law that our fisheries have to be protected for sustainability, have to be managed, I mean, for sustainability. And they really, and that's another thing that might, you know, that might be, along with the Alaska Natives, might be that constitutional mandate might stop the Pebble Mine.
I think their protection should be mandated. I don't think that was just a normal slip of the tongue. I think that
No.
was the universe speaking through you, dear.
Absolutely. And that's why Alaska has such abundance of resources. And if a stock seems to be, you know, a little shaky in terms of its growth, and man, the state or the federal managers, they put the brakes on it. And the fishermen here understand it. You won't hear them, like on the East Coast, complaining about, oh, we can't catch any fish. We understand that the reason that a fishery might be closed or cut back in terms of catch is to protect the stocks in perpetuity. And it's just it's like a, you know, the fishing here is, it's so cultural. I mean, the Yupik word, I don't know what it is, but the Yupik word, which is like one of the largest native tribes in Alaska, the Yupik population, Yupik-speaking population, or the Yupik Eskimos, the same word for food is fish. You know, what does that tell you? So, and Alaska does take it very seriously, which, you know, we're hoping that it will be enough to stop this, you know, this, the kinds of development, which, you know, as you said, you don't have to be a chemist or a rocket scientist to say that the world's biggest open pit mine is not going to hurt, you know, at the headwaters of the bay. Oh my God. We had another lucky well, in my view, another lucky find was that the National Marine Fisheries Service is now taking comment on protecting the nation's only freshwater seals, stock of seals, and this is right in the Bristol Bay area, just a stone's throw from where they're proposing to do this mine. So now the federal government agency is taking comment on that. And so between saving our seals, our sustainability for fisheries management in the Constitution, you know, 85% of the people being opposed, we're hoping that this mine will just go away. You know, I would hate to wish it on anyone else, but supposedly their Pebble Partnership says that this find of gold, particularly, and copper, is one of the largest deposits in the world. So you know they're going to fight tooth and nail. But there's already about 20 national jewelry retailers, like Tiffany's, saying we will not purchase any gold that originates from the Pebble Mine. So people have done, nationally, people have done quite a campaign to make people aware of exactly what's being proposed here in the Great Land, and the potential cost to the world's largest sockeye salmon fishery. They can't coexist.
No, they can't. And I'm so pleased that you came on today and shared all this information with our audience. Cookie, do you have a proclamation for us to wind
yes,
up?
Yes, I do. I thought today's proclamation should be on reclaiming dominion. As being divine beings, we should all be able to come together in consciousness and reclaim dominion over the earth.
Hear.
From the divine love within my being, I call forth those who have extended their power over the universe of the earth to stand before me as I stand before you in love and ask you to forgive and honor me as I forgive and honor you. I thank you for the lessons we have shared. I embrace all bonds between us in unconditional love. But as a representative of humanity, I proclaim dominion over the universe of the earth as far as those energies extend. I reclaim sovereignty and my ability to co-create with all elementals, consciousness within creation, according to everybody's heart's desire, and so it is. Take a deep breath, exhale, and clap your hands.
That was beautiful, Cookie.
Thank you.
And it's true. We are, I mean, God or higher power or whatever anyone wants to refer to it as, put us on this earth to be caretakers.
Right. And I've been up to Alaska before, and I love it up there. And, you know, you've got that famous harp up there, and we counteract it all the time with our proclamations on harps. So sorry about that.
Where did you visit?
Pardon?
Where did you visit in Alaska?
Well, I was up there when I was actually a teenager, probably about 18 years old. And I'd gone up there with my family. We drove up the trail, but we had come in right after the big earthquakes there.
Oh, my.
And, it was really, you know, I mean, it was really different territory, but we loved it up there in the hot springs. And
you saw a lot, you bet.
Yeah, it went above the 3 or 4 tires on the trail going up there back then that wasn't gravel. It was just gravel, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's really quite a remarkable state. And I told my husband, I said, if this pebble mine goes through, I really think I would have to leave Alaska. My heart would be that broken. And I consider this, you know, where God intended me to be. But I would just lose faith in our government and, Alaska government, and it would just break my heart. So, but I'm an eternal optimist. I do, you know, believe in that good will prevail. And hopefully with, you know, when people beyond our isolated region, you know, have interest in what is going on here, because we're all so connected.
Right, and we're so glad there's people like you up there. So keep up the good work and keep doing what you're doing, please.
I will, and I'll look forward to appearing again anytime.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us today at Freedomizer Radio. And up next is Tiger Lily with Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. So stay tuned for that. Goodbye, ladies.
Bye. Thanks again.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy. But it's
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
But if Prop 37 passes, they'd have to put labels on genetically modified foods.
So vote yes on Prop 37. It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes. Vote yes. Please vote yes on Proposition 47. Count the cookie.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state? Think about our children.
Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
It's feline fury time.
The way somebody looks does not give anybody the right or the authority to violate another human being. Unfortunately, there are people who have had loved ones who have been murdered, and the indoctrination runs so deep about the need to obey our masters that when one of these masters kills a loved one, they will go as far as to make excuses.
Cook's husband doesn't understand why an officer would shoot his unarmed wife.
Personally, I think it may be an overreaction, maybe excessive force, but I can only surmise that.
After how appalling I felt that it was that this happened to this Sunday school teacher that didn't have a weapon, that she was shot 6 times, I knew it was bound to hit Main America, because it's been happening in the African-American community all the time.
The violence of statism knows no boundaries. It's colorblind, it's genderblind, it's even handicapblind, it's ageblind. It doesn't matter.
Cops are the only people in society that have permission to go around killing unarmed people preemptively because they're scared of them, because of officer safety. No other profession in our nation, including our soldiers that fight overseas, are allowed to go around killing civilians because they're scared of them. We have postmen who go to houses every single day and get bit all the time. We don't go around shooting dogs. The cops in this country are cowards. They shoot people who are innocent because they're afraid of them, or at least they say that. They shoot dogs that are innocent because they are afraid of them all the time. It's disgusting. And very few cops actually fight real crime, because very few cops are willing to go out after criminal cops who are destroying people's lives. So I want to stop hearing the refrain that cops are heroes, and I want to hear the refrain from most people in society that cops are cowards.
Feline Fury Time.
Good Friday, everybody, freedomizers, friends, and even foe. Welcome to Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar on Freedomizer Radio. I'm your show host for the next hour on Freedomizer Radio. And if you want to be part of my show today, please call 347-324-3704. If you're listening live, I am broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana, where my grandchild just turned 2 years old, and that was the reason why I rode my motorcycle through all of the states from Utah to Indiana that allowed for helmet choice. Yes, we need permission, ladies and gentlemen, to decide what it is we could wear while we ride our motorcycles in one-third of the states. We need permission. So anybody who thinks we have rights, just stop and think, what right do you have? As George Carlin said, he made a very compelling case for the fact that there is no such thing as rights, and he used the World War II era to describe exactly what he was talking about. Just when the Japanese Americans needed the rights the most, the U.S. government created internment camps, so the only rights they had, right this way. So, yes, I did about, I guess, maybe close to 2,500 miles on my motorcycle. I went through Utah. I started in Nevada, in Las Vegas, which is a helmet bondage state. And I have a home in Utah, so I count that as day number 2. I left Utah. I went through Utah and to Wyoming. I passed Salt Lake City in Utah, and then I went into Wyoming, spent the night there, and went all the way through Wyoming, spent another night at the end of Wyoming, which is a little town called Lusk, L-U-S-K. That was a lot of fun. It was a quaint little town. And then from there, I avoided Nebraska because Nebraska is a helmet bondage state. And I refuse to go through any state that requires me to have to wear something that the government can't even describe. I mean, for God's sakes, I have proof that nobody has been able to describe what a legal helmet is. There's a lot of opinions about what a safe helmet is, but no actual concrete definition for what is a legal helmet. And yet, even though this thing that we call the government cannot tell us what a legal helmet is, they will pull us over to an inspect, like if these ass clowns knew what the heck they were looking at, and just use the helmet as a thing that they call probable cause or reasonable suspicion to pull somebody over to see if they're abiding by law or not. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I've stopped saying that I am a law-abiding citizen because I've learned to question everything, and I'm still learning. I'm still trying to deprogram myself. It's a lot of programming that that we all have to deprogram from, and it starts at birth. It starts when our parents force us to obey them. Why? Because they know best, because they own us when we're children. So here's a concept. How about nobody owns anybody? And right now, and as long as you have a child who is a minor, how about we respect them as opposed to demand them their respect of us? Respect is something that is earned. Respect is something that I will never, 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 ever, ever again give to this thing called the profession of law. Oh, my gosh. Anything that has to do with the legal profession is bull. If anybody thinks that the United States system that we call a justice system is about providing justice, they have never attempted to either get justice or they have never been involved in a situation where they needed justice. Because anybody who has up close and personal relationships with these bureaucrats know that there is no such thing as a justice system. There is only a legal system. So I've done a lot of thinking. That's one thing about motorcycle riding that you do, is lots and lots of thinking, and I've gotten a lot of juicy footage on the activism that I used to do. And I don't do activism anymore because it's not that it's too dangerous, because what the hell have I got to lose? I mean, my kids are grown, my parents are dead, my husband's retired. I mean, he'll make a killing if I get killed. I mean, for heaven's sakes. So I really, you know, when these guys and bitches pull you over because they've got a badge and a gun and they can, these guys need to start thinking about, do I have more to lose than the person that I'm detaining? Because I'll tell you what, I ain't got jackrabbits to lose to protect my own liberty. As long as I'm by myself on my motorcycle, beware and be afraid, because I will protect myself. I will never again allow myself to be handcuffed, at least not consentingly, not without, you know, we think about World War II and all of these people, not just Jews, but for heaven's sakes, it was the handicapped, the gays, the, you know, and any minority group, the gypsies, that were tossed into the oven. And like my friend David Stilwell, founder of Guerrilla Lawfare, says, I'll be damned if I don't give my master a black eye before he tosses me into the oven. And that's exactly the feeling that I have. I'll be damned if I allow myself to get tossed into an oven. I've been caged. I didn't like it. Now I have a 2-year-old little grandchild that is being raised as nonviolently as possible.
considering that I was a violent parent. And yes, spanking is a form of aggression. No, to those of you who say, you know, spanking is discipline, and why do you say that? Is it because that's what the Bible says? No. And people who say, oh, well, they got to learn not to grab the hot pan that's cooking something on top of the stove. Excuse me? You're the adult. It's your responsibility to not put the child in harm's way. And then to spank the kid, to teach him not to do something, please. That's the problem with the world. We don't teach our children critical thinking. And we try to beat them into submission or spank them into submission, or it can be a number of non-physical abuse as well. You've got your psychological abuse, which could be guilt. You guilt your child into submission. You use various forms of psychological crap, which then turns regular human beings into dysfunctional adults. And the world is full of dysfunctional adults. And that's why we have what we have. Yes, we've come a long way, and we've freed the slaves. Well, not really. We just changed the slavery. The slavery now is anybody who has to obey. Now, even I have to obey. If I don't obey certain things that I may or may not agree with, I risk getting caged. So, of course, I am going to do everything that I can to have the minimal exposure to these psychopaths with badges and guns. So, if you want to be part of the program, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to highlight my favorite activist these days is a guy by the name of Antonio Buehler. He's out of Austin. He's a West Point grad who has had an epiphany, about a year and a half ago when he went to Austin, he says, from the state of New York, he felt like Austin was like the Mecca of liberty. And I think he believed that with his heart because that's where Ron Paul was. And boy, did he get a rude awakening that going back to the constitutional principles is not the answer. This is what we have done over and over and over throughout the ages. And yes, our founders may have gotten the best and most brilliant of ideas and put them on a paper and all 12 of them signed or however many signed this Constitution, but hell, I didn't sign it. Did you guys sign the Constitution? I sure as hell didn't. So basically our nation was founded on, you know, half plantation owners, and they were seeking freedom from the tyrant King George. And now what we have, and they did succeed, and we did have a thriving country. And it thrived because of the taxation, and because of now we're being, you know, anybody who's half productive in this country gets robbed. And let's just call it like it is, you guys. It's armed robbery. Every time when I was riding on across country, when I was riding and I'd see these tards with their flashing lights because they got the lower hanging fruit, somebody who wasn't paying attention and was speeding, or even if they were paying attention, who did they harm? Nobody. So you've got all of these guys, all these badged, gunned men and women, mostly men, psychopaths, who pull over law-abiding or you know, just productive citizens or productive people who actually have to work for a living, or they probably wouldn't have a car. And who have followed all of these rules because you got to get your car registered and you got to, you know, have a driver's license and you got to have be insured and you got to or go to jail. So these guys who live off of the teat of government taxation, which is armed robbery, that's how they support themselves. It's called highway robbery for a reason. So every time I see these cops with their lights, pulling somebody over, giving them a citation, or just feeling them out. Let's see if we got an obedient sheeple here. If we do, I might cut them with some slack. But if we got a bitch like this Tiger Lily who's got three cameras going on, and who else, You know, I may be wired with a tampon, for God's sakes. Because I'll be damned if I'm going to be handcuffed again and deprived of my liberty without at least scratching or biting or something, kicking somebody in the crotch, whatever I can do. And I do carry a loaded 45 almost at all times. So, if that's a chance you want to take, Mr. Tard, at getting somebody like me, the likes of me, who has nothing to lose and everything to gain by resisting you, then make my day. You go on and just make my freaking day. Because I've had it. All right. So, let's see. If you're listening live, today is the 7th of June, 2013. And if you're listening Pacific Time, the owner of this radio show, Proof Negative, is out of Las Vegas, and so he's Pacific Standard Time is mostly what he uses, and he covers I think a good 16, 18 hours a day of radio, and he has a whole bunch of Freedomizer hosts like myself, probably not as radical as I. But a lot of people who have alternative thinking and who are looking at the real news and not just sucking the Kool-Aid that is laced with the mind-numbing propaganda that we're getting on ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. So isn't that... I'm going to reboot my computer. Let's see, Control, Alt, Delete, because I've got some issues going on with my computer, but I got another computer going on. I am broadcasting live. If you want to participate in the show, the area code is 347-324-3704. And let me log off and note this. This is quite an ordeal. I'm broadcasting from a place that has really poor reception. Force log off. There we go. And, yes, lose everything that I've done because who cares? I ain't got nothing better to do than to do it over again. All right, so let me check my studio and see what's going on. Thank you all who are tuning in to Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar on Freedomizer Radio. And let me check out the chat, what's going on here on the chat as well, so that I can keep up. There were a couple of things that I said on the chat that I was going to be covering. Let's see here. Okay, now it's a sad day in America when it's the United Kingdom that is reporting our crap, because you know mainstream media just does not get it, you guys. It does not get that. Well, maybe it does, and it's just an agent for the real rulers of our day. Deaf woman calls 911 as she's beaten black and blue by Washington police officers, quote, because she didn't hear their orders, end quote. Can you believe that, you guys? That just cracks me up. Okay, so let me read this, what the United Kingdom wrote about this article, which was shared, incidentally, almost 5,000 times. Okay, a Washington woman suffering from mental and hearing disabilities was left with severe bruises on her face after she claims an officer punched over and over her because she could not understand his orders. Megan Graham, 36, of Federal Way, dialed 911 while being arrested last Monday to complain about police brutality after being pulled over by an officer and hit in the face. Okay, let me pause right there and just talk about the asinineness. And I know this because of personal experience. When I was being violated by cops in Laughlin, Nevada, I called 911 and the dispatcher almost laughed in my face and hung up on me and told me, you know, tough cookies, lady, tough cookies. And what was my crime? I was videotaping the cops at the Laughlin River Run. I was videotaping them at night. It was close to midnight, and they were out in full force. This was 2 years ago, 2011, out in full force looking for the lowest hanging fruit. And there's a whole story that I'm going to podcast one of these days. So, yeah, who do you call when it's a cop that's abusing you on the job? Do you call 911? I don't think so. What are they going to do? They are 911. You know, this is why when people say, well, we need to get the feds to come investigate this local bureaucracy here. Are you kidding me? That's not oversight. That's asking the wolf to check the fox who's checking the hen house. You know, I mean, please. So let's see. Things quickly spiraled out of control during Graham's run-in with police officers, whom the 36-year-old disabled woman had accused of hitting her several times in the face while attempting to restrain her. And if you go to freedomradio.com, you can see the on the chat, I posted a link to this article, and it's also on my Facebook group, which is you do a facebook.com/TL Roar and just kind of, or do a search on Peggy Lilly's Freedom Roar or TL's Freedom Roar or something like that. You'll find my stuff. Continuing on, the Federal Way Police Department, however, insists that it was Graham who was violent and disorderly. The 36-year-old woman now faces a felony assault and an officer charge. She is set to be arraigned June 10th. It all started at around 7:15 p.m. last Monday when Graham pulled into the parking lot of Forest Cove Apartments where her friend lives. Moments after the woman stopped the car, a police cruiser drove up behind her with its lights flashing. Graham was under the impression that the officer spotted her using her cell phone driving. Police records indicate that Officer Austin Anholt, A-N-T-H-O-L-T, approached Graham and asked her for license and registration. Graham showed the officer her license along with an expired insurance card. In an interview with the station, KIRO-TD, Graham, her face still black and blue and swollen, said that she got out of the car, told the officer she was just going to carry her dog to her friend's unit, and offered him to accompany her. And I'm looking at the pictures as I scroll down here. According to Graham, because Officer Anholt was speaking to her from his car with its engine running, she never heard him order her to get back into her vehicle. In the next moment, Graham said the officer lunged at her and grabbed her wrist. Quote, I pulled my arm back, grabbed my phone, and called 911 to call for help, she said. Quote, I told the officer I had mental and hearing disabilities and didn't understand why he was trying to hurt me. In the recording of the 911 call obtained by the paper Federal Way Mirror, the 36-year-old woman is heard telling the dispatcher that she is being attacked and asking for help. How dare you even touch me, she told the officer on the call, which captured the officer's voice repeatedly telling Graham, quote, you are under arrest. Put your hands behind your back and stop resisting. A second officer, identified as Ashley Crispin, C-R-I-S-P-I-N, arrived on the scene a short time later and, assisted by the first officer, wrestled the woman to the ground. I could taste the blood going into the back of my sinuses, she said. Once I was on the ground, I was hurt. All of a sudden, there's all these cops on top of me, pushing my face in the ground. It was just so unbelievably horrific and upsetting. Graham said the second officer punched her in the face 3 times, and one of the cops also threatened to use a taser on her while she was pinned to the ground. Quote, it was horrible. I just didn't understand any of it, Graham said. I told him about my condition. Punching me over and over in the eye is obviously excessive force. He could have handled it a lot differently, end quote. Federal Way Police, however, offered a different version of the events, claiming that when an officer approached Graham to arrest her, she clenched her fists, took a fighter's stance, and tried to strike the cop. In a photo provided by the police department and posted on the FoxNews.com, Anholt is seen showing what was described as a scratch mark on his chest, which he allegedly sustained during his confrontation with Graham. Graham's friend, Deborah Fenwick, said she witnessed the incident and insists that the disabled woman was not resisting arrest. Quote, that woman doesn't have a violent bone in her body, end quote, Fenwick said. She's got a heart of gold. If she would have understood the officer's commands in the first place, she would have absolutely complied with him, end quote. Graham said that besides the bruises to her face, she also suffered a concussion. The Federal Way Police are currently reviewing her complaint regarding excessive use of force. Good luck with that. So this article has been shared almost 5,000 times, and it just and the comments are stunning on these in this article. So hope you guys are are able to hear me. If somebody can hear me and say something on let me see. Can you hear my show? I'm asking the people because I have very minimal reception on my self login. GCC. Login. And I'm using a different computer also. All right, so I'm close to the bottom of the hour. I do need to go to commercial break. But before that, one of the things that I want to make really, really clear is that what we need to do to change the world, in my view, based on a lot of self-reflection and research and studying, is we need to begin with our children. And peaceful parenting is where it's at. And if you do some Google, there's some really great peaceful parenting mentors online. One of them is Laurette Lynn, and she wrote a book called Don't Do Drugs and Stay Out of School. And I really loved that book. I gave it to my daughter. Hopefully she'll read it pretty soon. But basically it's about the importance of not initiating aggression against our children. And because when we go to school, we are really putting our children in a cesspool of violence, whether it's bullying by other kids, bullying by teachers. And nowadays, there's even cops with guns, with full belts in our kids' schools. So it needs to start at home. The breaking the chain is going to be multi-generational. It's not going to happen overnight, but we do have the technology to make it happen very, very quickly. I mean, who would have thought even 20 years ago that cell phones would be, you know, that our technology would be what it is today? And we look back 150 years ago or however long it was, and we say, really? We used to own people just because they were black? Really? We have to make a law to say that that's immoral and unlawful, and if anybody's caught doing that, that somebody's going to get in trouble? Really? For heaven's sakes. Okay. So let me do this thing with George Carlin, who is my favorite guy in the whole world. And while he's running, I'll look for the commercials, and you're listening to Tide to Limits at the bottom of the hour, and I've got another 30 minutes to go. And when I come back, I'm going to be talking about Antonio Bueller's most recent ordeal with the so-called justice system, which isn't a justice system, it's just a legal system. So here we go. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes.
The point completely. Not important to get children to read. Children who want to read are going to read. Kids who want to learn to read are going to learn to read. Much more important to teach children to question what they read. Children should be taught to question everything. To question everything they read, everything they hear. Children should be taught to question authority. Parents never teach their children to question authority because parents are authority figures themselves and they don't want to undermine their own bullshit inside the household. So they stroke the kid and the kid strokes them and they all stroke each other and they all grow up all fucked up and they come to shows like this. Kids have to be warned that there's bullshit coming down the road. That's the biggest thing you can do for a kid. Tell them what life in this country is about. It's about a whole lot of bullshit that needs to be detected and avoided.
So that was George Carlin, and yes, it starts with our children. Let's not expect them to respect us just by virtue of the fact of accident of birth. Let us earn their respect, and let's raise them nonviolently so that 100 years from now, just like we look back and say, really, we used to beat black people, or really, we used to own our wives, or really, we used to beat our women into submission just because God said so, so that 100 years from now, we're going to say, really, we used to spank our children and call that discipline? For heaven's sake, I'll be back in a
minute. Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it, Silver Leaf Tea. Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called SolarBay. And SolarBay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have SolarBay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has SolarBay. You sign up enough people, and SolarBay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solavei.com/freedomizer. That's solavei, solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, solavei.com/freedomizer.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required.
That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
But if Prop 37 passes, they'd have to put labels on genetically modified foods.
So vote yes on Prop 37. It's up to you. You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes. Vote yes. Please vote yes on Proposition 37. Count the cookie.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state? Think about our children.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. This is Tiger Lily. The name of my show is Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. And I'm live right now. It's, it's almost noon Pacific time, but I am broadcasting live from Indianapolis, which happens to be Eastern time. I didn't know that because I was raised in Gary, Indiana, and it was always Central time when I grew up. I didn't know that Indianapolis was Eastern time until I got here, and I thought, oh, shoot, well, that kind of changes things a little bit. But, if you want to be part of the show, the number is 347-324-3704. And on this second half hour, I wanted to talk about my favorite activist. His name is Antonio Bueller, and he got a really rude awakening, thinking that he was going to be moving to the Mecca of Freedom when he moved from New York to Austin because Ron Paul was there. He realized it's nasty. The world is nasty. The Constitution and everything that we were raised and indoctrinated to believe is bull. And he has been one who is out there. And Texas, my gosh, Texas, people think, oh, people are real constitutional in Texas because, you know, Texas, everything's big in Texas and yada, yada. Well, did you know you can't open carry a firearm in Texas? I mean, it's not an open carry state. go figure. But you can you do have some choice as to what to wear when you're riding a motorcycle, so a cop won't necessarily pull you over just because of what you're wearing on your head, unlike in Nevada and one-third of the states in the United States. So Antonio Buehler, oh, before I go into Antonio Buehler, I do want to talk about that article that I just read. That woman who was deaf, and it was reported by the UK. It was seen by a few people, just like six people on my little Facebook thing that I've got. But one person who really has been through the ringer as far as trying to get justice for his own son, another West Point grad who was executed by the Las Vegas Metro Police Department at Costco, at a Costco during broad daylight. He was concealed carrying a weapon, and somebody called the cops, and the cops, you know, there's powers. And that's, you know, at the top of the show, I always run my little two-minute thing intro. And that's Antonio Buehler's voice talking about cops are cowards. He says, I want to stop hearing the refrain that cops are heroes, and a more accurate refrain is that cops are cowards. Because cops, I mean, no other profession, like he says, no other profession can go around killing people and animals and dogs and children and get away with it. Just the profession of law enforcement. And it's rampant. It's throughout all 50 states. And it's happening. The tyranny is in your back door. You probably saw something locally, you know, your local ABC or whatever covered it, your news channel covered it. But these stories don't go viral. But thanks to YouTube, some of these stories are going viral. And one of the stories that really hit the cyber world was the execution of Eric Scott, killed by the Las Vegas Metro Police Department in the prime of his life. So you can just imagine how horrific the father, Bill Scott, I mean, I can't imagine anything more horrific than having your own kid die before you. That's just not how it's supposed to happen. You as a parent are supposed to die first. So he read this article that was published in the UK, about the disabled woman, and he commented, and he said, interesting that stories like this have to be aired by European media. Where's the U.S. media when it comes to reporting blatant police and government brutality without always giving cops the benefit of the doubt? This line screams police lie. How does a woman, quote, take a fighter's stance when holding a dog? Oh, excellent catch. Quote, Federal Way police, however, offered a different version of events, claiming that when an officer approached Graham to arrest her, she clenched her fists, took a fighter's stance, and tried to strike the cop. And I don't see a scratch on the cop's cheek. So that's what the Bill Scott said, and I don't see a scratch on cop's cheek. Indeed. So, you know, as I recall, there was like a scratch on his chest or something like that, and that they showed. How do we know that wasn't his girlfriend? You know, because he likes it rough, you know, in bed. So, yeah. So people like Bill Scott and people who have been awakened to this double standard of rules. It's one set of rules for us that are being ruled and a completely different set of rules for the congressmen and the people who buy them and their killbots, which is law enforcement, and to an extent also the military. I mean, what are they but really trained, hired killers? And I don't mean this in a bad way, or in a judgmental way, like, you know, like I'm not a Jane Fonda crazy. I mean, I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps myself. My husband's a retired Marine officer. But we've had an awakening. And what we did was basically serve the state. And what we did was immoral. And we didn't know that what we were doing is immoral because we were indoctrinated to believe that what we were doing was the right thing to do. And every time somebody patted me on the back when I was in uniform or when I wore a Marine Corps emblem or something on my, you know, people patted me on the back and said, thank you for your service. So let's think about that. What does really, really, what does that mean? Thank you for being a killbot? Thank you for being part of a state that is responsible for millions, if not billions, of killed people? I mean, what we're living in is a democide. That's a relatively new word, I think. I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it's basically the government killing its own people. And as I write, you know, take a guess. If you were to guess what percent of the United States is actually populated in the lower 48, what would your guess be? The percentage of acreage of the United States that is actually populated by people. It's somewhere between 3% and 4%. And as I ride my motorcycle, I can see just acres and acres and acres of land. And there are other people, you know, because I'm a woman and I'm riding my motorcycle and I'm by myself and you can see that I got, you know, my camping gear and all of that, I tend to attract attention by other motorcyclists and by other curious people who are like, hey, are you from, you're from Utah? Are you riding all the way from Utah? Where are you headed? You know, you. And there's a lot of people waking up out there. There was a couple that I met, seemed like a husband-wife couple, and they said this is their third ride throughout the United States where they're going through all 48 states of the lower states on their motorcycle. They said that this is their third and final run at this. But the wife was telling me, she says, you know, she's kind of concerned. She says she's seeing things, she's noticing things this time around that she hadn't noticed before, like fences that are being built in between, in the medians, as if to prevent people from turning around. You know, of course, you know, there's a law, a sign, but for heaven's sakes, I'm not even a law-abiding citizen. I don't even obey cops when they're in front of me with a gun. I'm certainly not going to obey a stupid sign, especially if my life is depending on it. If I'm on two wheels and I'm running out of gasoline, I'm going to use that median and turn around and go get some gasoline. You know, I mean, common sense. I'm not, you know, and that's why we need to start the common sense with our children. So, yeah, I just wanted to go back to that before I talked about Antonio. Now, Antonio has been arrested, I think, three times. He was arrested the first time, which was his eye awakening moment, where he started questioning everything, all of his indoctrination. He's a West Point grad, and he's now, and you know, after finishing his tour of duty, in which he was, I guess, a supply person, he got some a bronze medal, and he's got, you know, some accomplishments while he was serving in the military. But he came back to the U.S., you know, with this idea of you know, homeschooling and, you know, advocacy for children, to teach them how to critically think. And a year and a half ago, he was in Austin, and he saw a couple of cops that were really hurting a lady. I mean, she wasn't even the driver. I mean, she was, and evidently, so they arrested him for interfering, and all he did was, hey, he said, hey, what are you doing to this lady? And he was starting to, and the lady said, please record this, please record this. So he was recording. Next thing you know, he's in the back of a paddy wagon, and he's being slapped a felony charge. And the cop lied and said that Antonio spit at him. And so Antonio spent, I think, 18, 16 hours in the holding tank until he got out. And when he got out, he used social media, Facebook, Craigslist, and several people, two or three people, stepped forward and had actually captured the whole thing on their video cameras, on their cell phones. So cops, beware. You can run. You can no longer hide from the technology. You know, here we all are paranoid that Big Brother is going to get us, but really, the power is in our hands, and it's by way of a cell phone. And nowadays, you can even live stream, which is something that I've, you know, had to do because I've had my video camera confiscated before. So going back to Antonio, he's been, so he was arrested that first time. And since then, he founded Peaceful Streets Project. And there are chapters, and he founded that in Austin, and there's chapters springing up all over the nation. And in one place there, since he lives in Texas, I guess he was in Gonzales, Texas, and a little town called Gonzales, and evidently he got in trouble. So yesterday or the day before yesterday, now this article was written yesterday, so the day before yesterday, which is Wednesday, June, I guess, 5th, he went to Gonzales to, he had his trial he got arrested for interfering or for saying the F word to a pig or whatever. All right, so here's the article by Julie Wilson and John Bush. And the name of the article is Peaceful Streets Project founder Antonio Bueller walks with a $1 fine in latest trial. And that is on the libertybeat.com. So they got some interesting stuff. I just looked at it, and it says, your daily source for liberty news and activist updates. All right, people, so this is the article. Police accountability activist and founder of the Peaceful Streets Project, Antonio Bueller, has struck back against the legal system yet again and won, well, sort of won. Previously, Bueller was charged with a felony for spitting on a police officer, but charges were dismissed in April. Oh, that's good to know. I did not know that because that was the case that I was telling you about. That it was on New Year's Day, 2012, I think. This time, Bueller found himself at the mercy of the legal system again for exercising his First Amendment rights at a court watch in Gonzales, Texas. On March 13, Bueller was exiting the courthouse premises when a police officer told him if he returned, he would face criminal charges. Bueller told the officer to go F himself and was subsequently arrested. Yesterday, Bueller represented himself in the Gonzales courtroom for a trial that lasted 7 hours. The judge was the same judge who, on March 13th, had confiscated Bueller's camera and threatened him with arrest for filming in her courtroom. Even though two of the six jurors had police officers in their families, the trial concluded with a guilty verdict and a $1 fine as a penalty. Bueller, who represented himself, used a jury nullification and an appeal to the First Amendment as a defense. Bueller plans to appeal the $1 fine. So, yeah, there was a ton of talk about that on Antonio Bueller's Facebook page. And his Facebook page, if you want to visit that, it's a lively Facebook page. That's the only place I think could be as active as his. It is Free Antonio Bueller, and it's B-U-E-H-L-E-R. And that's his Facebook page. And he's got, let me tell you, he's got close to 7,000 members on it already. So that's pretty nice compared to my meager little 200 that I have. If that, let me see. But anyhow, let's see, I'm down to my last 10 minutes or so. I do have some, okay. Yeah, so basically as I transition, I pretty much decided I'm not going to be an activist anymore. An activist being somebody who's like in their grill and exposing. I'll still expose, but it's going to be from the comfort and privacy of my own home and with my weaponry around me. So, you know, if any tard wants to come get me, you know, make sure that you know that there's going to be a big stink because, you know, these days of being sheeples and just rolling over. And, you know, people say, I won't say who this was, but somebody near and dear to my heart actually said, you know, if Texas ended up having a state law where they had you had to wear a helmet, I'd just wear one. Well, you know, and that was what one of the motorcyclists saw me open carrying in Wyoming.
And he said, you know, have you had any issues with that? And I said, not around here. And he said, well, do you have a permit? And I said, well, no, you don't need one. And he said, well, you know every state is different. I said, yeah, it's different dirt, different rulers. And he said, well, if I were you, I'd just get a permit. And I said, okay, thanks for the advice. And I know he meant well, and most people do. But when you get a permit, you're just getting put on a list. I mean, you know, when the Jews put their Star of David on there to be law-abiding, because that was the law, how'd that work out for them? You know, so when you go and ask the government for permission for for the most basic of human rights, which is self-defense, which is your own self-preservation, which is the right to exist on the earth. When you go asking the government for permission, you're just putting yourself out there. You're just, you know, targeting yourself. Why don't you just get a big old freaking bullseye and say, here I am, come get me, and where's the internment camps and where's the ovens, because, you know, me first. Yeah, oh, like Jack. Ooh. Mr. Carter, me first. So, anywho, I'm getting close to the end of my show. I do have about another 5 minutes or so. 347-324-3704 if anybody wants to call in. I want to give a special shout-out to Cheryl, who is the Freedomizer host right before me. She is a lovely lady who does a whole lot of stuff behind the scenes. And, you know, we're all in our own awakening path, and there are a lot of things that I can learn from her in terms of, you know, she really focuses on the health and nutrition and wellness of our humanity. And I really value that. And she does a lot behind the scenes to educate the Freedomizer hosts that we have here 16 hours a day, every day, Monday through 24/7. I mean, every day, 365 days a year. So she's one of the unsung heroes. She, along with, of course, Proof Negative, who is the founder of Freedomizer Radio. He has a full-time job, but he is very passionate about his desire to get the word out, to awaken the masses. And even he is learning. I mean, we all learn from each other. And my absolute favorite philosopher of all time throughout history, and he happens to be alive today, so if you're lucky enough to ever get to meet him, count yourself extremely lucky. And I'm not going to get to meet him in Las Vegas, because he's not going to go to Las Vegas. I was very, very distraught to hear that, because he has cancer and he's in chemotherapy now, so he's going to be immunocompromised. So he had to give up several of his speaking engagements. But Proof Negative has had Stefan Molyneux on his radio show maybe 4 or 5 times already. And I know he introduced Stefan as everybody's favorite anarchist. And that was cute, because I think Stefan is a philosopher first, and he really walks the walk. And even Stefan has grown, and I've known of him. I don't know him personally. I've called him twice. But he is a philosopher that has really touched my heart, and he's, I guess if you were to put a label, and labels are harmful, but what are words if not labels to experiences and to things and nouns, persons, places, things? If we were to label him, he's a philosopher first, probably, maybe a dad first, he would like to say, and a husband. And he's a truth seeker. And where he has made mistakes, he has come clean with those mistakes and shared them with his audience. For example, he used to think that homosexuality was just abnormal. But now, because of he's a research-based person and he's all about empirical data and everything, he says that, you know, that being gay is something that is that happens in utero. And so, you know, I've never really had an issue with the gay community in general. And, you know, my whole mantra has always been, hey, as long as nobody wants to stick anything up my butt without a lot of lube and a lot of consent, then I don't really care what people do in the privacy of their own bedrooms. But Stefan at one time said that he thought that was being gay was a choice, and he now has apologized to the gay community for that. And as he, you know, he's advocated a lot of things like don't smoke and, you know, healthy lifestyles and, you know, yada yada. And yet with his healthy living, he got cancer. You know, it's a lymphoma. It was under the chin, under his chin. And you can see the surgery there. And when I heard about it, when he put it on his YouTube channel, and it was about a 9-minute or a 6-minute thing, a personal update or personal story or something, and he talked about that, oh my God, I must have cried for 2 hours. I mean, just nonstop hysterically crying, because I just could not. I mean, he feels like a part of my family. Like, I was absolutely devastated. And when I see how committed he is to furthering his message, I mean, despite the fact that he knows that, you know, this kind of probably shook his world as far as, you know, he's only 46, so he's, you know, he has been living a life that technically he ought to be living 100 years. And that's what I thought about my mother. She was, and, you know, I was raised Southern Baptist, and as long as you do God's will and eat right and exercise and don't do drugs and don't smoke and don't drink alcohol and, you know, follow the commandments, then there's no reason why you shouldn't have God's protection. And yet my mother, who was the epitome of all of that which I was indoctrinated to believe, she died a horrific cancerous death, horrific, before my eyes. That was the beginning of me starting to question my own belief systems. So I just want to end this show with reminding everybody to please teach your children how to think and not what to think, and remind them to always question everything. And I will talk with, I got 90 seconds left here. I will end off with George Carlin's plea to the parent. Teach children how to think. And thank you all for tuning in. This is Tiger Lily. And see you next week.
The point completely. Not important to get children to read. Children who want to read are going to read. Kids who want to learn to read are going to learn to read. Much more important to teach children to question what they read. Children should be taught to question everything. To question everything they read, everything they hear. Children should be taught to question authority. Parents never teach their children to question authority, because parents are authority figures themselves, and they don't want to undermine their own bullshit inside the household. So they stroke the kid, and the kid strokes them, and they all stroke each other, and they all grow up all fucked up, and they come to shows like this. Kids have to be warned that there's bullshit coming down the road. That's the biggest thing you can do for a kid. Tell them what life in this country is about. It's about a whole lot of bullshit that needs to be detected and avoided.